Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another Life on Earth report. This is number 7. Hello, Kathy.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm confused.
Why?
Because I'm still listening to pre-roll.
Oh, the music. Yeah, there's a delay, isn't there? Yeah. That's confusing.
It is.
Well, I have the phone lines open, so let me just get that going right now. Where is the... All right, here we go. We're going to have the phone lines open immediately so that we can take your calls. And there we go. And then if you want to, of course, you can always just pick up the phone and dial us up and call in. That'll be fine. A few things to tell you about. While I'm messing around with the settings here, it's always something to mess around with, isn't it? There you go. The of course, we were all wondering what was going to happen in the Ukraine. And folks in America, myself included, take a look at this. We don't have any personal interest. You know, it's not touching our lives specifically. Most of you watching probably don't know anybody in the Ukraine. I mean, maybe there's some of you who do. But by and large, most of you who are watching don't. And it is a news story that's held at arm's length that you hear about and you wonder, you know, what is true, what isn't true. And you can't help but just feel sad that this is happening. I do. And really very frustrated that it would be occurring at all. Because, you know, the bottom line here is that Ukraine is its own country. When the former Soviet Union went and broke up and it was just done with, these different entities who were their own countries, by the way, before the Soviet Union went in and conquered them, took them over, made this large conglomeration called the Soviet Union. They were countries before, and then they fought, or they ended up getting to a point to where they could elect their own president, they could be their own people, they could have their national identity back, and there they are on the map. And it says Ukraine, Poland, all the other places. I don't remember all the names. I don't think Poland was part of the USSR. But I do know that Bulgaria was part of the USSR because Kathy and I were there when we went to visit Dr. Lachazar Filipov and talked to him about his contact with extraterrestrials. If you haven't seen that interview, it's in the members area. Anyhow, the thing is that now President Putin has mastered his forces and marshaled them to move forward and to go in and go up and take the Ukraine back as part of one of the vassal territories of the... of Russia now is not the Soviet Union any longer. So we take a look at this at such a distance. The only gunshots we hear are on the videos we watch. The only action that we see are on those videos. And because we've gotten such a distaste for the news, and we've gotten to a point where we're not sure what the hell to believe anyway, we look at it with maybe a bit of skepticism. Is this wag the dog? is this some charade that's playing out, perhaps? And then we go about our day, because after all, we've got to go put gas in the car, We've got bills to pay, groceries to buy, and the things that we do in life. And so if it is something that's significant and uncomfortable, I suppose we'll hear about it one way or the other, social media, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, whatever your favorite flavor of social media might be. And you just sort of go about your business, waiting to hear more at some point. And because you don't have a personal connection with it, of course, it doesn't really hit you in the heart. Well, meanwhile, back here at home, there's all kinds of weirdness going on. You probably saw my post earlier that Biden is calling upon the Border Patrol agents and Customs Enforcement to volunteer to go over to the Ukraine on the front lines to help with their border, which seems pretty strange, considering that, you know, our border is important too, and not much is being done to protect that border. But that one, that's not as important, apparently. So consequently, here we are. We're at a point where madness is it's a common everyday occurrence. The insanity of what's going on in our country is baffling to all of us. And then we hear these stories. I've got a hair, it's just right there in my eye. There it is, I got it. And so we're really kind of focused on, you know, what's going on here. You know, cities where all kinds of murders are taking place, bad guys with guns, gangbangers, the epidemic with the drugs coming across the border, the human trafficking that's occurring. And the bad guys coming across the border are racing around in cars and running over people, running into people, causing all kind of damage. They take off running. They don't want to get caught. The car was stolen anyway. So there's a lot of madness happening in this country too, and it's a very easily distracting thing. But beneath the surface, there are some other things going on. For example, what's going on with the U.S. dollar and its position as the world currency? Well, that's something to be wondering about. What's going on with the truckers? What's going on with all this COVID business? What's going on with Canada, for God's sakes? I mean, Canada turned into a dictatorship. You know, all these things I'm telling you about, you're probably well familiar with, and you understand that, yeah, heard about that, heard about this too, and, you know, nothing that I'm talking about is actually new. And the tragedy of it has faded. Now it's become more of a shock. And the supply chain, what about that? I mean, look in the stores. Have you gone shopping lately? We're going tomorrow, I think. Are we going tomorrow, Kat?
Where?
Shopping?
Well, yeah, we have to.
Yeah, because we're out of food. Yeah. The galleys and the Phaeton are running a little bit low. You gotta go Earthside and pick up some supplies. And the price of gasoline and, of course, diesel. And what I'm hearing is that what we're seeing right now, oh boy, it's going to get much, much worse. And then you take that piece of information and you overlay it with what we've heard from William Stickevers, who is, by the way, in my opinion, one of the most accurate astrologers I've ever encountered. And he's telling us about Pluto return. And if you don't know what Pluto return means, in a nutshell, it's like, oh, hell, go hide and wait for it to pass. Because it just keeps, it goes through three times. And every time it goes through, it just tears things down. Then it tears things down more. And then it just wipes the table clean and it's a start over. The last time it happened at this magnitude was the fall of the Roman Empire. So consequently, we've got a lot of stuff going on. And I think there comes a point in time where you sit back and you go, what the hell? Okay, and then on top of that, let's just pile it on, why don't we? I do have a caller, and caller, stand by. I'll be with you in just a moment. On top of that, well, if Russia screws around with the power, electricity, with the supply of petroleum, or with the computer network, in other words, cyber attacks, that sort of thing, then that violates Article 5 of the, what is it called? It's a NATO agreement, is what it is. And violating Article 5 basically is an aggression considered an act of war. And all the NATO countries then have to come together and go, you screwed up, Russia. Now it's war. Because that was an act of aggression, first act of aggression, and they are going to go and do something about it. So that leads to World War III. Meanwhile, off of the West Coast, looking all the way across to China, China and Russia are buddy buddies. And I think Russia wants Europe, and China wants the United States, North America, not just America, North America, as in Canada, Mexico, and who the hell knows what else. But China wants it. And so we've got this stuff going on in Ukraine that could lead to World War III. And meanwhile, over here, China's looking to take over Taiwan. And then after Taiwan, it's going to be us next. They have the ability to do it. And the hell of it is, the United States, at this point, the United States, as a force to be reckoned with, was a force to be reckoned with. Biden has made it such that he's shown the United States is incompetent and weak. I mean, look at the Secretary of Health. Look at the person who is in charge of the nuclear waste. You know, the guy that dresses up in leather undies and has men and women in dog masks. Anyway, the United States is looking like a big fool, very weak, with an incompetent leadership that is prime to have their ass kicked. And the only thing that stands between us and them, we hope it's the military, but if not, it's going to be people of this country. And that's it. Of course, it's not going to do much good if because Russia and China both consider this, that Russia has the hypersonic missiles and so does China. Hypersonic means it's so damn fast that by the time they figure out that it's headed this way, it's here. And of course, China and Russia being pals, remember all that billions and billions of dollars of highly sophisticated state-of-the-art equipment that our fool in charge, Biden, left in Afghanistan? Guess where that went to be reverse engineered? To China. So the best that we have is now there And it's going to be used how? Let your imagination take over. So, I mean, we've got all this stuff going on. And one of the things that really bothers me is that if this does come to pass, and this meaning World War III, Russia has no problem doing cyber attacks. There's already been people in Russia doing cyber attacks. Remember last year, I think it was, when the pipeline on the East Coast was shut down and people just had no fuel. That was a proof of thesis, in my opinion. What if they did it for the whole damn country? Of course, fuel prices going higher and higher and higher because, of course, you know, though we could have energy independence, oh, no. We're going to beg the Saudis to be nice to us and send us more oil. It's going to cost a lot, though. It's over $100 a barrel, last I heard. So it's going to cost a lot, a whole lot. And where you're seeing $4 price tags right now for a gallon of gas, you're probably going to see $6, $7, $8 a gallon for gasoline. And God only knows what it's going to be for diesel. That's going to make traveling very difficult. And people who are working that are on a budget, that's going to make that hard for them. And of course, you've got the issue where what if the cyber attack happens and all the gas is just sort of stopped? Or they could do a cyber attack on the electrical grid. No more electricity. They could do it on banks. There's a lot of things they could do it with. And who knows what it would be? Maybe none of them, maybe all of them. And so here we sit. You could be on a vacation if you could afford to go. You could be on a vacation, go somewhere, drive to go see family like we're going to be doing in about a month. And all of this happens and you're just, by God, stuck wherever the hell you are. Because not only is the gas really expensive, you have to buy it to get home, but maybe it's just shut off. So there you are. You're stuck for God knows how long. Stores are going to run empty. This is becoming quite an enormous issue, and this is the Pluto return. So before I answer this caller, bring him on, I just want to say I had an opportunity this afternoon to speak with a young lady. Her name is Daria. She lives in Kiev. Now she is outside of Kiev in the countryside. She wouldn't tell me where, and it's probably a good thing. She's a freedom fighter. And I spent about 50 minutes or so with her on the phone. I don't think I'm going to play the entire conversation, but I will put it up on Rumble so you can watch it. I think it's worth watching to hear what she has to say. Because she's there. And she's not a personality, you know, like from the news or the media or any of that stuff. She's just a gal. Her boyfriend and some of her other friends are in Kiev right now as I'm talking. They're hiding out with weapons and they're fighting the Russians. Astonishing. The conversation was just amazing. And I'll play a little bit of it for you so you can get a flavor for it. And you can go later. I'll upload it to Rumble and you can listen to the whole thing because it is worth hearing. All right. With that said, I'm going to put the headphones on and we're going to find out who the caller is. Let's see here. All right. Caller, you're live on the Jerry Will Show. Your name and where are you calling from, please?
Hi, Jerry. This is Brent, Wyoming.
Hold on. Let me see my volumes up here.
Sorry about that.
All right, go ahead.
I have a few friends in Ukraine,
And I've tried to contact him because I have email addresses. No response. I think their internet is down. So communication and truth are the first things to go in war.
Well, I just had a conversation. The internet was up this afternoon.
Okay, this is one of the ones I know is a psychologist, and she hasn't responded, so I don't know.
Well, a lot of these folks, they are running. They're running and evacuating the city.
Not just the city, the country, yeah.
Well, the country, but yeah, Daria was telling me that about 80% of the people are trying to get out of the country. 20% have picked up arms and they're defending their country. She was one of them.
Yeah.
But she said the internet has been up and down. You're just lucky where she was. It was up for an hour that I talked to her.
Okay. When I was talking to one of my friends about guns, she said, "I don't understand guns. Why do you people have guns?" Now she understands why.
Yeah, no kidding.
You defend yourself sometimes.
Well, yeah.
But I mean, the one thing that kind of makes me a little nervous, but not really, is Putin has suggested he's going to go the nuclear option, literally, if anybody interferes with his takeover of Ukraine.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Now, here's the thing. ET has shown that they can dismantle the warheads, and they can interfere with the missiles, shoot the missiles down no matter how fast they're going, hypersonic or not.
Right.
So if he goes that option, he'll force their hand, and that will force disclosure because everybody will see it.
Well, yeah, if that happens. And let's hope that if he goes that direction, it does happen, because if that happens, it's not going to be good. You know, Putin did warn.
It's not going to be good for anybody.
No.
Yeah.
You know, by the same token, Sweden and Finland are not NATO members. And he's already sent them a message. Don't even think about going there, because if you do, the action will be swift and sure.
And probably final.
Yeah, probably. Well, like, you know, in the Ukraine.
Yeah.
Some people think that his ambitions are to overwhelm as much of Europe as possible. I'm not so sure he could do that without help from China. But
I don't know. I don't know how he can go.
Well, at this point, he pretty much controls the flow of natural gas and other fuels into Europe.
Yeah.
If he shuts that off and it's winter time, they just might capitulate.
Yeah, that's right. They might. But here's something I sent to my brothers. I wouldn't send to my sister because she is a Biden supporter. If we had a leader who had some spine and some brains, he would not have tried it. Putin would not have tried it.
Well, and I made mention of that to Daria during the conversation. She said she likes Biden. Of course, you know, she's in another country. She doesn't really know too much about what's going on here. But she said that she thinks it'd be much worse if Trump was the president. And I said, Daria, I've got news for you. If Trump was president, this probably would not have happened. She said, well, they both have very strong personalities. And it's like, yeah, they do. But they also have an understanding between each other that, you know, Trump comes from a position of power and not intimidation, but certainty. And he would not allow this sort of thing to happen without some very serious consequences.
Trump, I'm going to compare Trump to Reagan for a second. Speak softly and carry a big stick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that's a position of power. But what we have here with Biden is one...
lackadaisical.
Yeah. One day he's saying, you know, these severe sanctions, we're going to teach him a lesson. During the election, when he was out pounding his chest, he was saying, yeah, well, I've gone up against Putin, and Putin understands me as being a strong guy, and he can't overwhelm me. And now, just yesterday, Putin's on record as saying, well, you know, we never really expected sanctions to work anyway. I mean, the whole thing is a joke, yeah, and the world sees it as a joke.
One of the things I've read is that one of the things I've read and heard and seen is that because of sanctions over the years, Russia is pretty much independent. It can go without it doesn't need the rest of the world all the time. It can get by without it. So these sanctions aren't going to work unless they do something drastic.
Well, I got news for you. The sanctions, with the sanctions, that's based upon world reserve currency, the dollar. China,
yeah,
has introduced the digital yuan, and Russia doesn't need U.S. dollars.
Mm-hmm. I know. They also have BRICS. What is it? Brazil, Russia, Iran, and China? That banking system.
Yeah. Yeah. And shutting off the SWIFT banking system to Russia is not going to make that big of a difference. And that's what Biden was talking about. Oh, we never really expected it was going to make that big a difference anyway. But no, Russia and China, neither one of them, because China wants to be the world reserve currency, first of all. And they have the wherewithal to do it. And they put themselves into that position of power where they have the world reserve currency. The money that some people have under their mattress will be good for starting a fire. It'll be like Venezuela, only in the United States. The banking system, I mean, so many things would just crumble as a result of that happening. So it's a very dangerous situation that the United States is in now. And it's all because the leadership in this country, there isn't any. You know, there's a bunch of people dressing up like, a bunch of men dressing up like girls and, waving their fairy flags, you know, the fairy wands. My God, it's just become
word one about.
Oh, yeah. And if you say anything against them, you're a racist.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just the way the world is turning, apparently. It is a big mess. And I don't know where it's going to go or how it's going to turn out, but I have a very bad feeling about it. And a lot of people do. Not many people are willing to sit back and talk about it openly and discuss what they're afraid of, what could be happening, you know, what might occur. And if you do, there are always those who are going, you're just talking about a bunch of fear porn stuff. When does discussing potentials that are very real potentials, when does that transition into fear porn? I think it's a subjective thing.
When they don't want to believe in anything with themselves.
Well, they don't even believe in themselves, Brent. They want the illusion that everything is fine, and that's called cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm enjoying my yummy drink here in a mason jar.
Does it have a lid on it?
Oh, hell no. Just a straw. Remember, hills of Kentucky. All right. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. But, it's a screwed up mess. I don't know what to do. I'm just sitting back and watching, hoping for the best. I'm preparing a program for those who are going to need a lot of psychological help after this is over.
I have a feeling before it's over, there are going to be people needing psychological help. When I was talking to Daria, she said that there was so much fear and anxiety, because some people weren't able to leave. I don't know that I had this part on the recording or not, because we talked a bit before I started it. But, you know, it's a very scary thing for everyone involved. And, you know, I mean, we're talking about war as if it's a detached thing over there somewhere. But I'll tell you something, it could very easily migrate this direction. There's already stuff going on that we don't know about. And it's not that I know about it either, but I just surmise that there are things going on we don't know about that are, you know, deeply troubling if we knew. And how we respond and react to this, you know, it either means we... Well, we either sink or swim is what it amounts to.
Yeah, it's going to... How we react is going to determine our future.
Absolutely. And if there is a future, the way that we envision it should be. Yeah. So, I guess we'll just find out at some point. Yeah, at some point. All right. Well, thanks for the call, Brent. I appreciate you waiting.
Yep, no problem. You guys take care. I'll be listening. So,
bye. All right. Fantastic. Good night, Brent. Phone lines are open. Anybody wants to give a call, the number is 928-212-2103. This is being broadcast on our radio relay server as well at jerrywillshow.com. If you'd rather listen than watch, it's not like there's a whole lot to see. Not yet, anyway. But, yeah, the lines are open. So if you're feeling frisky, go ahead and give a call. So let's talk about the potential for the cyber attacks, because, you know, that would be a very damning thing for this country if it were to happen, because of so many reasons. I mean, look, I'm broadcasting to you over the internet right now. And if there was a cyber attack, maybe I wouldn't be able to. But most folks don't understand the depth of what a cyber attack means. It means that they could go into, well, of course, you already thought about, and I've already talked about, that they could go in and disrupt the flow of, you know, fuel. They've done it. It could happen again. They could disrupt the, you know, the network that electricity uses throughout this country, to move it from place to place. But there's also the potential of a cyber attack that's more clandestine, where you remember when just recently there was a hacker that got into GiveSendGo, got all of the names of the donors, their addresses, their names, everything, how much they donated for the truckers up in Canada. That's a cyber attack of sorts. And if he could do it, you know for sure that there are those in Russia with the expertise to do that and so much more. They could go into banks, wipe out bank accounts. They could go into utilities, for example, Coinbase, and just transfer all your wealth. If you have, you know, some cryptocurrency, they just go in, oh, there it is, transfer it, goes over there. You think it's safe. It isn't. Not until you put your crypto into a digital wallet, and a hard wallet is your better choice. But they could do that. They could hack in, take everything you've got. Right then, right there, that's the end of it, and goodbye wealth. Doesn't matter how much you've got. They'll just give it to themselves.
Honey Badger doesn't care.
What's that?
Honey Badger doesn't care.
Yeah, Honey Badger doesn't care. They could go into all of your personal records. Imagine if they went into hospital records and just, you know, erased all the records. I mean, there is no end to what they might be able to do. Use your imagination, you'll come up with something. And I know it's like, my God, if I didn't have anything to worry about before, I sure as hell do now. Or do I really want to even consider this and just get myself all worked up into a lather being worried about this? I'd probably never happen. Cognitive dissonance. I don't know that it's going to happen either. But my philosophy has always been, if you prepare for the worst and it doesn't happen, at least you're prepared. Now, what does the worst mean? I don't know. It's subjective. You have to come up with what is the very worst case scenario you can come up with. What's that?
What is the worst case scenario you can prepare for?
Oh, yeah, and that too. What's the worst case scenario that you can prepare for? Kathy's so smart. Uh-huh. And if you don't prepare for it, then what the hell? If it happens, you're screwed. This is the reason why a lot of people, the past few years, have invested money into buying weapons and ammunition, prepper items of all sorts, and kind of just taking a step back from society as if that was hard to do. It wasn't the past couple of years, because let's face it, everybody was isolated and wear a face diaper and act as though the world's coming to an end anyway. But what's the worst that you can imagine happening, and how could you prepare for it if you really and truly were going to prepare? And are you ready to even think in those terms, or are you wanting to just sort of forget about it for now and wait and see what happens? Maybe tomorrow will be a better day. It might be. But what if it isn't? Now, some people are single and they're looking at it like, look, I don't have a lot of money, I don't have a lot of wherewithal, and I don't know what the hell I'm going to do anyway. Other folks, just the opposite. They have a family, extended family, perhaps. You know, they don't have a lot of money, but they do have their things. And the whole idea of losing everything that you've got is just, it defies the mind's ability to comprehend the reality of that. Some of these folks have never lost everything. I have, a few times. And it's not good. It's very devastating. And if you're not taking a look at what you might be able to do to protect yourself, your family, at the very least, reach out and connect with like-minded communities. Because I guarantee you, the road warrior motif, where it's Mad Max against all the bad guys, in this particular scenario, Mad Max does not make it. Here's a good example for you. Let's say the shit hits the fan. Things are bad. You've got some gold, or you've got some silver at home. You've got something that you can trade that you need to get some food or perhaps medicine. And, you know, there's somebody that has food or medicine. So you meet with them. And in this meeting, they're like, okay, what have you got to trade with? Well, I've got a little bit of silver. I've got some of this. I've got some of that. And, you know, what is it you want? And the person just pulls out a weapon and says, I'll take all of it. And robs you blind and leaves you high and dry. If you're still breathing. Try to put up a fight, you won't be. So community is going to become very, very important, you see. And if things really go to hell in a handbasket, and you're going to need to figure out how you're going to survive, it's going to be with community. It's going to be with people that you know, or you get to know, people that you trust, and people who will look out for you the way you'll be looking out for them. Their strength in numbers. Now, I don't know what's going to come to that. I hope it doesn't. But like I said, prepare for the worst. Worst case scenario. So, with that in mind, switching gears and going to the Ukraine, where I'll just play like 5 minutes of this. I'm not going to play the whole thing. There's almost an hour of this. So, like I said, I'll put it up onto Rumble so you can watch the whole thing. But think about what these folks, how did they prepare? What did they conceive of when it came down to the 12th hour and they're trying to figure out, what the hell am I going to do? What is my job here now? I don't have my job that I had. What is my job now? What risks will I need to take? What hardships will I need to endure? Will there be enough food? Am I going to be warm? And how am I going to feel when I see folks around lying on the ground bleeding out? These are the realities of what war is. It isn't pretty. It's stark. It's shocking. It's violent. It's horrific. There is nothing glamorous about war, violence, bloodshed. So, I'll introduce you to this gal. Her name is Daria. The first couple minutes, there is a significant bit of echo, and that's because I had the monitors on and the microphone was on, and it fed back through the microphone. You'll still be able to understand what's being said. It goes away after a couple minutes, so, you know, no need to point out to me that, oh, well, you've got an echo. Kathy already did that. Thank you, Kathy. I was so taken with the conversation that I forgot to check one of the settings. And as soon as I took a look, it's like, ah, damn. Anyway, this is Daria. She is hiding out. Well, not, I wouldn't say hiding out. I'd say she has sought shelter with part of her community on the outskirts of Kiev. Her job now as a freedom fighter is for supplies and communication. Meanwhile, her significant other, boyfriend, fiance, don't know which, but her significant other is in Kiev, armed, fighting the Russians, along with many of her friends who are there doing the same thing too. And it isn't just guys. It's guys and gals. Listen to what she has to say. I think that this will be a bit of an eye-opener for you. And as I mentioned, the entire interview is going to be put up on Rumble in a separate video. While I'm thinking about it, since no one's calling in, well, I'll leave it on until the end of the show, just in case somebody wants to call in. I want to do that. But here she is. Here's Daria. The situation going on in the Ukraine. I mean, a lot of people here were theorizing that it would never happen. There was a bunch of chest beating. Other people were saying, oh, yeah, it's going to happen. You know, here in the West, there are three kinds of people, Daria. There are the type that listen to the news, which is basically now in this country no longer the news. It's just propaganda. Then you have people that get all of their information from social media, which is like going to the bar. And everybody has an opinion. Everyone thinks they know what's going on. And if they don't, then they fill in the blanks with their own idea based on whatever their hopes or their fears might be. And in many instances, you have folks that maybe are secretly wishing for the worst, and so they put the worst out there, which is wrong. And some of these folks, they accumulate information from a variety of resources, and then they start piecing it together as though it were a jigsaw puzzle to be built. And when they build it, they start seeing little patterns here and there of all the things that are happening in the periphery, and they blend it all together and they make it into a story. And that story, because it sounds reasonable, it's based on everything that they've been looking at and everyone else has been looking at. It starts to make sense. And when that occurs, that's when you start into you end up with the stories. For example, the thing that I posted, which you disagreed with. And yeah. I'm like the rest of these people. I'm trying to find pieces of information. What is the truth? Because honest to God, we're not there. We don't know. And all we know is what we're hearing from various resources, and it's sketchy whether any of them are worth listening to at all. And that's why I thought, if I could talk to you, you could define your position and what you see going on. Because from what I can see, you know, with the video that's coming in and so forth, it looks really frightening.
Pretty frightening, pretty scary.
I mean, you see explosions and tanks running over cars and people running and, you know, like the island where those 13 folks were at, and the Russians apparently, I don't know if it's true or not, but the Russians apparently bombarded the island and killed all 13 of those folks on the island.
They killed all of them. They really did. And it is one of the things that's you know, it's becoming like a myth of this situation, myth in a good sense, I mean, like a story. And because before they destroyed all the infrastructure, and at first they fight for this Zminy Islands. It was some not so big, some not so so good in this ship names and categories, and there was not a super big Russian ships, and they lose in this fight with Ukraine. It was our very old one ship there, and they lose, and they send the Gracer to this Mini Island. And after I really heard this recording, and we all of us we did. When the commands of the ship, they telling these people to put the weapon down and just say, okay, we're out. And they just saying, fuck you, Russian ship. And after this, they're killing them all.
Wow.
Yeah. And the very picture of the situation is this, that in Russian news next day, everywhere was that they didn't kill anybody. They took every person alive. They are noble and good, brave people like this. And this is picturized all the situation with Russia, between Russia and Ukraine. This is very, you know, like very bright example of this.
Wow. That, well, it certainly makes them look more humanitarian. But
sure. When you're inside Russia or you're watching Russian television, you're maybe for the first week, your mind is trying to protect you from this information. But slowly, if you are there, you're finding yourself in the world where Russia is like, you know, the noblest and the clearest and the best country ever, surrounded by wild, cruel people of West. And it is really absolutely crazy. When you listen into this for the some time, you really thinking, okay, am I going crazy? Because, you know, the picture of the world is completely different from which you really know.
Sure. Well, I don't know. Do you know Dmitry Romanov?
I know him only as your follower, because I'm following you for several months.
Okay.
And I saw some of comments from him like this.
Okay, yeah, because Dmitry doesn't think much of this at all. So he's not, you know, following the party line, let's say. And I'm sure there are quite a few folks in Russia that way as well.
Yeah. There is, like you're saying, there is three kinds of people. People who are now really suffering from all what's going on. And they're the smallest part, I think, actually. People who are very excited of what's going on, because they say that Ukraine is a fascist country, which is, I don't know, killing people on the streets for speaking Russian language, which is absolutely not true. It's just not true. And the third part, they doesn't care.
There are people here in this country that are talking about how Russia seems to have been attacking very specific locations that are considered biological research laboratories that are owned or otherwise managed somehow by the United States. Have you heard anything about that?
No, I really didn't hear anything about this.
Okay, because there are maps here circulating showing locations of Russia's attacks and then locations of these places, and they seem to overlap.
Maybe, but maybe it is only visible overlapping because, you know, they are attacking us all over the border, you know, all over our joint border with Russia and with Belarus.
Mm-hmm.
And they started full power invasion. And this is maybe the scenario that was the most scaring to people here, because they're using bombs and they're really bombing cities and they're bombing the living blocks and they bombing kindergartens and hospitals and medical vehicles on the streets and like this. And I don't know, maybe I will check this information if I can. But now this invasion, it is really big, but it's not going like they wanted it to go.
Explain that.
Because Ukraine is really fighting back very hard. And the losses, I don't know, maybe it's not the right word, the losses of Russia is much more bigger than the losses of Ukraine right now.
Okay.
Yeah, excuse me, I can't turn off this chat now.
That's okay.
And they as we understand now, they plan that it will be like very, very quick war. They will just, you know, and they will have Kyiv, they will have capital, and people will run. And the thing is that here are different people too, and many of them choose to leave. And it's really okay, because it's very scaring when, you know, bombs are killing people on the streets and destroying houses and everything. But so much people haven't any thoughts of running. Now we have, and the army, our army is really very brave, and it's like fighting from like hell, really fighting by hell. Mm-hmm. And people are volunteering to join. And within these days, it is 37,000 people joined.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah. Yes. In 2-3 days.
Yeah, that's remarkable. What is the population in Ukraine?
44 million. Ukraine is the biggest country in Europe.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, territory of Ukraine is the biggest territory of country in Europe. And, you know, this conflict between Russia and Ukraine, it is eternal, really, because Ukraine is a very old country, and the civilization, not the civilization of these territories, but it's much more older than Russia is.
I see.
And it's, you know, people here are very free. And actually, I lived there. I was born there in Russia. That's why I know what I'm talking about. I'm like no boss type. I know how it is to live there. I know how is people feeling there, how they, what positions about their, you know, for understanding the world and caring about the world and feeling the as a part of the world. This is pretty different. It's really very different from here. And here people are really very free, and they are ready to fight for their freedom. And you know, this analytics that you post yesterday, and really it was nighttime, and I was really, oh no, it's that's enough.
Yeah, sorry.
It's okay, maybe. I didn't want to hurt anybody also. And because it is really based on real fake facts.
Okay.
And that's why, and the logic of it, it's fake, it's false, because the facts in the base are fake. And you know, the first constitution in I think modern civilization was created in Ukraine in 1060 something.
Wow.
And here are traditions of this democracy, and you know, here now it's really pretty wild. I understand this is like a country of a third world, and but you know, this genes and this blood in people, it's not so easy to destroy. And here is really deep roots of democracy, and you know, I don't know, dignity, human dignity, to understanding of your part in the world, of your role in the world, and your relationship with other people. And in Russia is completely different. And so, yeah, I a little bit forgot what I was talking about from the
No,
start.
That's okay.
Yeah. And this is this Maidan in 2014. It wasn't any like neo-Nazist putsch, which when the government was, you know, kicked off, and some like now Russia propaganda is telling. The point was that when the Ukraine obtained independence, like around 30 years ago, the independence from when Soviet Union falls apart, and here was a referendum all with all the country, and like 90% of the people of the nation, they voted to separate from Russia, to be an independent country. And from that time in constitution, this is there is the point that we are moving towards Europe and towards NATO. And it is not because, you know, somebody here are in some rose glasses about Europe and what's going on there, but we have really crazy neighbor. You don't need to, you have to choose, you know.
Yeah, well, if you have a crazy neighbor, it's important that you at least know where you stand with everyone else who might also be slightly crazy neighbors.
Yeah, in between two crazy neighbors, for just speaking like honestly, you are choosing the one who are less crazy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that, you know, the Ukraine is very smart and wise between two crazies. No, here people are crazy too, as well as everywhere in this world.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and leave us a comment. Subscriptions and your comments cost nothing, but it really helps us out a lot. To hear the entire interview you were just listening to and many, many other amazing interviews within our archives, please visit jerrywillsshow.com and become a member. Your membership supports our ongoing broadcasts. That's jerrywillsshow.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this program.